So we're holding Ois Yud Aleph, Perkhes, Memoroim Perkhes, Ois Yud Aleph. And before we do that, we'll read a few lines in the Rambam himself. Just those were the last few lines that we learned inside. We still have some way to go in the Rambam himself. So I just want to reread the last lines that we did. So if you're using the Memoroim volume, so it's page Lamed Zayin, where you can find it. Just a very short part of it. So the Rambam says, let's see where the best place to start is, hold on. Okay. The second line on page Lamed Zayin, if you have the Sefer. So he says like this, Uklal HaDavar. Okay, the klal of the matter is, Shinamin, Uklal HaDavar Shinamin Bohi, the klal of the matter that we're supposed to believe in is as follows. Ki kemoi shirot Hashem Yisborach, Sheyihi ha'odam nitzav ha'koma, Rechav ha'chazeh, Balitz ba'ot. The same way that Hashem wanted man to be standing upright, to have a wide chest, to have fingers. Kein rotza shiitnoea v'yanuach me'atzmo. So too, he wanted man to be able to move and to rest. V'yase pu'ulos bebchirosei, and to do activities with his own free choice, with his own free will. Ein mechriach lo alehen v'lo manea mehen, without anything forcing him to do those actions, or without anything able to prevent him from doing those actions. He gave man full reign over his actions, right? Kimo shizbor ba'Torah ha'mitis ha'mevaer ezeh ha'inyan. The way it's explained in the Torah that explains this inyan ba'omram, the pasuk in Bereishis, hein ha'adam haya kachad mimenu ladas tov v'ra. Man is like one of us to know good and bad. So, which is interesting, because he's bringing a pasuk after the chet. You know, he's not bringing a pasuk on man in his ideal state, but man after the chet of Eitz Hadas. Ukvar bir ha-targum b'feirush, and the targum is already explained. He explained explicitly, sha'aratzon bo mimenu ladas toivera. That what that pasuk means is that man has the ability to know good and evil, meaning Ritzoni Loimar, Shuaya Echad Baolam. Ritzoni Loimar, Min, She'in Kamo Min Acher Shishtatefimo Bezeinin Ashenim Tzobo. Meaning that man is the only species like it. There's no other species that has this in common with him, that he's able, that he on his own would be able to know, is able to know the good and the bad. And he can do whatever he wants. And there's nothing preventing him from doing so. And since that is the case, so it could be that he's going to send his hand out to take from the fruit of the Eitz HaChaim, and he'll end up living forever, and that is a problem. So that's up to here is where we got. So meaning, what the Rambam is ending this off is showing that, well, before this we had discussed, and we discussed at length, that it's not pshat that there's a ratzon of Hashem in every single occurrence in the world and every single thing, and it would come out that even when you're moving your pen, it's not really you moving your pen, it's God moving the pen and God moving your hand, and everything is God and nothing is you. No, adrabba. Man has the ability and control over his actions. He's in charge. Hashem put man in charge of his actions. And that is what the pasuk is saying, that he's one of a kind in this respect. Right, he's echad mimenu ladas tov v'ra. So that's the Rambam inside, and now we'll look at what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe does with this Rambam. So this is in Perek Yud Aleph, or I should say Ois Yud Aleph. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, "Habechira mipnei shihiraz tzelem Elokim." Right, the bechira, right, we know is the secret of the tzelem Elokim. It's one of the main perushim in the idea that that man was created in the image of God, is that he has free choice. V'hi miroim pisgat ma'alata adam, and that's the pinnacle of man's high level. Yesh hevdel bein habechira shel melefnei achet habechira shel achrei achet. There's a difference between the bechira that preceded the chet of Adam Rishon to the bechira that followed the chet of Adam Rishon. Dinei be'inyan yiridat haneshama la'aretz. Now he goes on to a small tangent to explain this. When the neshama, in the inyan of the neshama descending down into this world, into the physical world, yeshnam kama biurim. There's a number of different explanations. Umeamagamota ikariot shel yirida zu. And from the main aims of this descent of the neshama down into the physical world, uliyot ki b'tzelem elokim asah et ha'adam, being that man was made in the image, he made, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man in the image of God. And being that that's the case, he wanted to be mashpia on the other. I think what he means is that he wants man to be able to be mashpia on another, the same way Hashem is mashpia on the creation. And that he maybe it is going on Hashem. It's not going to change the overall picture, but okay, I'm not sure if he's going on Hashem or on man. If it's going on Hashem, then the pshat is that Hashem wanted to be mashpia on the other, and in that way Hashem is the neshama of all the neshamas of the universe, of the existence. Alternatively, maybe it's going on man, that man is like the inner neshama of the whole world. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be even a deeper neshama than the whole world. But there is room, maybe, to understand this as referring to man in retrospect to the rest of the creations, because we do find such a thing in the Arizal. So I'm not sure this line, how it's read, but I don't think it's going to change, alter too much the meaning of the overall theme over here. Nevertheless, he says, "Al kein, therefore, being that that's the case, gam haneshama tzricha lezulat lashpia." Yeah, so I guess it's going on Hashem, because he's then applying it to the neshama. The same, I think. Okay, that's how we have to do it. Hashem wanted to be mashpia on the other. That's why he made the world, and he wanted to then be the neshama of everything. Right, he's going to be the giving the life to everything. So al kein, therefore, gam neshama tzricha lezulas lashpia. So the neshama also needs to be mashpia to the other, and I guess that's why Hashem, what he means by this, I guess, is that that's the idea that Hashem created man, b'tzelem elokim. Same way Hashem is mashpia to the other, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in that oifen, in that way, that he's going to be mashpia to the other. Lefichach, now the ikar of man is his neshama. Lefichach, therefore, moridim ota leguf, shei tiyeh lo neshama. So therefore, Hashem brought the neshama down into a body, that the neshama would be a soul to that body, will ashpia alav and be mashpia on that body, l'roimimoy v'l'ha'aloysoy, to elevate him, ad shegam aguf yegam hu lebechinas matzav shel neshama, to elevate him so much so, to the point that the body is also going to become like an aspect of a situation of neshama. It's going to become like a spiritual being. The oitam. And another reason is kedesha neshama tesig bechira. So the first thing is the neshama had to be brought down into a body, because the neshama has to be like God and influence and be mashpia on others. So by putting the neshama into a body, automatically this neshama is inherently acting as mashpia to the other. It's interesting. It's similar. The Chafetz Chaim writes about this, and I think Shem Olam, if I remember right, that's where I saw it, is it's in other svarim, but like the person is kind of is grafted between two elements. You know, he's markiv the neshama with the guf, like the Rama says, mafli lasis kosher davar ruchni v'davar gashmi. But the way that he's presenting it over here is that ultimately, the ikar of the person is the neshama, which actually is the way Reb Chaim Vital starts off Shari Kedusha. And the body, in that respect, is like an outsider, is like another. And the idea is that the neshama now is supposed to raise the guf up to be like itself, to be spiritual like the neshama. But it's an interesting idea. Like, you know, we so much identify with our bodies that it's interesting to think of the body in the sense of another. It comes in, you know, when we deal with the idea of the neshama when it comes to tchias ha-meisim. I mean, certainly if there's a shita, it's not so pasha, there is a shita, but if there's a shita like what looks like from the Rambam, that only the neshamas are going to come back tchias ha-meisim, so then it works beautifully, you understand, yeah, okay, the body is nothing more than just an in-between stage, you know, which helped you do your avodah, but it's not the ikar of man. But the Shlach Kaddish and Avodah Zakadish learned that that's not pshat in the Rambam. That even the Rambam, I think the Shlach says it's mafurish, but the Rambam also doesn't mean that. Eventually, even according to the Rambam, the guf is going to have to be part of the Tchias HaMeisim. Yeah.
So, can I ask a question?
Sure.
He said that it says that just like Hashem is mashpia on the other, so too the neshama has got to throw the mashpia on the other, right?
Yeah.
So he said the neshama is mashpia on the guf. What's the other, the Hashem?
The man, the whole creation.
Creation. That's the other.
Yeah. That's the whole reason for his creation. Again, we don't understand what that means, you know, but that's the idea that's written in this farm, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world lehetiv, right? Because the ikar, the teva toiv lehetiv, that's a lashon that's brought down. The nature of the good is to be metiv, to bestow goodness on others. Okay, so this, yeah. Right, so I was almost going to say that also. That's like another place where that's very much discussed. What body is it? When there's a Gilgul Neshama, what body is the Neshama going to come back in? And that's a very complicated and intricate sugya. But yeah, like I've said in the past in other shiurim that people find the sugya of Gilgul Neshama regarding Tchias HaMeisim very disturbing. You know, there's a lot of disturbing questions. You know, am I going to come back? The person's married more than once. Which wife is he going to come back with? And that kind of thing. It's a very sensitive topic. But the sensitivities of it is really deriving from that identification with the body as being the ikar. If we were, you know, on that level of neshama, of the soul, we wouldn't have that kind of nervousness, fear, negativity, or discomfort, I would call it, with that sugya. But we are physical. Hashem put us in the body. We're supposed to, the idea is we're supposed to elevate the body to become very, very spiritual, to become as spiritual as a neshama, or close to it. We see that lasid lavay, that's what's going to happen. The Leshem brings down, it's psukim, it's a medrash, it brings a medrash rabba. Leshem brings down that, oh, I don't have it. I have a different volume that I brought over here of the Leshem for something else. It's the end of Sefer HaKlolim. The Leshem discusses how the body is going to become so pure, and it's mamish based on psukim and a medrash mafurish, that the there's going to be seichel in the legs, you know, like the legs are going to have seichel. There's going to be, the body's going to be fully intellect, and like mamish, like a gather of neshama. So obviously we can't relate to it right now. We barely have seichel in our heads. Forget about the feet. So this is the first reason that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe here mentions for bringing the neshama down into the body. Now he gives a second reason, which is more nogea to the topic of the Rambam that we're dealing with. Another reason is kedei shaneshama tasig bechira, so that the neshama is going to be able to attain free choice, free will. Velo yitachen shetasig ze below hitlabshut toch guf ba'olam hazeh. It's impossible for this to be accomplished without the neshama being dressed in a, you know, inside of a body in olam hazeh. But the soul, we know, doesn't want at all to come down to the land, to the physical world, right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu has to basically, you know, coerce the neshama to come down. The omna mivatereti alashba'a lezulat. Neshama says, "Thank you very much. It's very nice of you that you want me to be mashpia on the other. I really appreciate your trust in me and the responsibility you want to give me. But, I'm a vater. I give up. I'm not interested in that special offer. Omavaterati gamal asagas habechira. And neshama's mevater also on attaining bechira. I don't need free choice. I prefer just to remain robotic, like a malach. Just so long as the neshama can stay clinging to the Elokim Chaim, the source from which it's yun. V'omnam al yedei ze atzmo. Right? The neshama, in other words, the neshama would much prefer, just let me stay with you. That's a little bit like a little bit of a mashal. You have a person that's learning for many years by his Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, you know, listen, you've been learning here for so many years, but I want you to go out and teach. I'm throwing you out of the yeshiva, throwing you out of Kail. You've been here too long. It's time for you to go on and be mashpia to others. And the Talmud says, but Rebbe, I'm getting so much from you. I'm not ready to. I don't want to do that. The Rebbe says, I'm not leaving you a choice. Goodbye. You're out of here. I'm kicking you out of the yeshiva. That's basically what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does to the neshama. The neshama says, "I'm like, I'm having a blast over here. I'm gaining so much. I this is literally the best thing possible to be completely bound to the Rebbeinu Shleilim. What's better? And I'm not interested in getting bechira. I'm not interested in being mashpia to others. I'm still have a lot to receive. So va'omnam al yedei ze atzmo, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. Through this itself, mitoreu biyoter atzorech lorida lechnisa betoch guf. Dafka through this attitude of the neshama, which is a very good attitude, really. Yeah, this positive rotzen of the neshama to just stay tied to Hashem. Dafka through this is stirred very much the need to for it to be brought down into the body. Why? Shekol mashi mitdabeket biyotel b'mkorah ha'elyon, the more that neshama clings to its supernal source, yotel nimshach alei tzelem elokim, the more that it draws upon itself the tzelem elokim. The same way now, if we are v'atem advek, if we're mekayim the mitzvah to cling to Hashem, the more we cleave to Hashem, the more He puts upon us the Tzelem Elokim, which is the idea of the Shechina being Shaira on the person, because that's the relationship, right? We pull down, so to say. So the same thing there. When the more the Neshama expresses its intense will to stay connected to the Rebbeinu Shem, the more of a Tzelem Elokim it's bringing upon itself. But in order for that Tzelem Elokim to take place, which is the Bechira, Bechira can't be manifest up there when he's just a makabel to the Rebbeinu Shleilim, when he's just clinging to the Rebbeinu Shleilim and basking in the Or Elyon. V'yoseri nidreshes b'shvil zeh, and so it's much more necessary now for this reason, l'damos tzura l'yoytzra, for the tzura to be similar to its former, right? For the form to be similar to the one who formed it. Liyaz gam hi mashpat u ba'alas bechira. So like the more tzelem alakim it's the neshama is getting, the more it needs to now be meitiv, to be mashpia to another. V'lihiyos ki haneshama kashila malo, he makira et ha'yichud ha'elyon ki hu ve'ein bilto, and being that the neshama when it's up above recognizes the yichud ha'elyon, right, that upper supreme unification of Hashem, that all there is just Hashem alone. Echad ve'in sheni, he's one and there is no other. Einay milvadoi, he efshala shama la'asig bechira. It can't receive bechira there. It can't attain bechira at all. Imlo shetinatek ma'at me'avakat Torah al yediritata lemata. If it wasn't for the fact, if it wasn't for it being slightly detached from the brightness of the light up above by being sent down here below, the neshama has to be sent down here below in order to enable bechira by detaching it from the light of Hashem slightly. Now bechira will be enabled. Uvezeh hoisa bechira shel neshama shel tanuach v'lo tishkot ad asher tofia ba'adar kodesha lorid et kol hakarot achdutiyot ha'elyonot lemata ba'olam hazeh lios Hashem echad u'shmoy echad. Now with this, there was bechira of the neshama. I think Reb Shmuel, I think your sound is still on. You know what, I'll mute it over here. Okay, so uvezeh isa bechira shel neshama shelo tanuach velo tishkot ad asher tofia. So the neshama had this bechira, and its bechira was not to rest and not to be quiet, not to be still, until it would like appear in its full holiness to bring down all those recognitions, those of the Achdus HaElyon that the neshama had up there, to bring everything that they, the clarity of what's up above there, Einayt Milvadoi, to bring it all down here below in Olam Hazeh, Li Yois Hashem Echad Ushmoy Echad, to be Megala that Inyan that Hashem is Echad Ushmoy Echad. Ovechein Hayahu Yisbar Shmoy HaYachid BeElyonim BeTachtonim, and in that way Hashem would be the Yachid up above and the Yachid down below.
Wasn't there something young about the Shema coming back to be Misaken, some pagan that was in the Shema previous existence?
But we're talking already by Adam Arishon. We're talking when Adam Arishon, one second, let me just, when Adam Arishon was created, there wasn't yet anything to be Misaken. Really, I mean, there is an idea of tatku neshamas or whatever that existed before, but keeping it on the most basic level, certainly there was nothing, there was no man that did any sin before Adam, so he's coming on a pure slate, and the idea that Adam Rishon, he receives a neshama, and his neshama wants very much to be megal Hashem echad u'shmoy echad, which was, you know, the matzav he was used to up above. He wants to be Megala down here below where things are not so clear. Okay, so, and in that way he'll make Hashem the Yochid Belyoinim, the Yochid Betachtoinim. Avokshagor Amachet, Vinel Makdushel Yoinim, also Shechinel Mroimim. But when the Chet caused, and the supernal Kedusha became concealed, and the Shechina went up back above, because as long as Adam Rishon had not yet sinned, the Shechina was down here, right? The Shechina, when the Beis HaMikdash was here, the Shechina was down here, but when there's sin, the Shechina leaves, goes back up. The whole idea of the Shechina is Hashem's presence down here, but Chet removes his presence from here. So when that happened, Nishara Adam Yechidi V'tachtayinim, man was left over, man remained as the individual down here below. Till then, it was really Hashem was the individual down here below. He was the individual up above and the individual down here. But once the Shekhinah leaves, man is left yechidi betachtonim. Umeaz kimat nistal, because we had the umeaz kimat nistalka he'efsharut shel bechira shel lifnei achet. And from then, this had a very grave effect on the world. That from then, or a man, from then, the ability, the possibility of Bechira the way it was before the Chet, kim'at, almost completely was removed. What is that Bechira? What's the special Bechira? What is different about the Bechira before the Chet, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe? Before the Chet, Adam Rishon's Bechira had the ability to turn what's down here below and to make it like what's up above. But since then, the Bechira is on a much lower level, in a much lower way, where one can only, for the most part, he said, kim'at, right? It is possible for some tzaddikim to get that level of making the lamata kilamala. But on a general level, it completely changed. So that now Bechira remains just choosing the good and leaving the bad. Leaving the bad. This obviously is a theme which is very relevant to the whole sugya of the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. It's very famous that in the Sifri Hasidus there's a lot spoken about Iskafya and Hishapcha, which you have especially in Hasidus Chabad, but you have it in a lot of the Sifri Hasidus, right? That there's two madregas. There's the Iskafya, where you're kaifa the bad, you overcome the bad, and that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying is really the Ikar Bechira today, after the Chet of Adam Rishon. But then there's also another level, which is a very, very high darga, which is called Ishapcha, to be mahapch meriru lemesiku, to change the bitter into the sweet, to change the physical into the spiritual, to be mala, like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying, to change the lamata lamala, to change what's below to a form of the way it looks above, meaning to spirituality. So that already is kim'at not within our realm of Bechira. That's a very, very unique, and according to Sifri Chassidus also, that's a very, very high level. It's not a... There's a lot written on it in the Sifri Chassidus, but if you read the Sifri Chassidus carefully, they warn over and over. I saw this week's parasha, I don't remember which of the Sfarim, but almost every parasha you can find, at least in one of the Sifri Chassidus, where they'll discuss how you can't do this unless you partake in physicality only on the barest minimum level. Then you can reach that madrega to turn the physical into the spiritual. But unless you're holding on, and that's very few people, unless you're holding at that level, it's not happening. It's not b'klal shayich to you. So, in any case, that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe over here is explaining, is that this is the difference between Bechira before the Chet and Bechira after the Chet, is it has a fundamental difference. Before the Chet, and we'll talk about it more, we'll see in the continuation, we're gonna continue Be'ez Hashem next week. So just to like wrap up what he said over here, this last nekuda is that's the major change of Bechira, is that, and we'll see this next week, is that back then Adam Rishon had the ability to choose how to go higher. Like, it's basically choosing between, you know, good and better type of a thing, where you're just choosing to be mala something, to elevate it higher. Over here, we use the expression of making the what's down here, elevating it up to a matzav of something like the way it looks up above, meaning spiritual. Whereas now, it's mamish, you have a toiv and a ra, stay away from the ra, only choose the good. It's a very different type of bechira. I just want to mention before we, as a side note, something that he mentioned before, because it is a very important point, is that he said that the neshama, when it's up above, is so close to Hashem, is so davuk by Hashem, that there's no possibility of bechira. So this type of a concept, I could be, I've mentioned in this year, I've mentioned another shiurim with people, but we're not going to go into it now, barichus, but there's a very, very fascinating leshem. And the Leshem asks, amongst the stuff that he, amongst the questions that he deals with in this piece, it's a leshem in Sefer Adeya, in Chelek Beis, in the oldish, the old edition. It starts Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the old edition of the leshem. You know, and I'll just make the question simple. If the purpose of creation was to be magala kvod shemayim, to be magala, to reveal goodness, and to reveal Hashem's goodness and oneness, etc., then he really massively messed up. I mean, this is a really bad creation. Because look what year we're holding in over here on the calendar. If there's like, you know, 6,000 years before Yemes HaMashiach, you know, what's going on over here? Most of the world is bad, 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 and bad. Not recognizing Hashem properly. This is like a massive flop. You know, like, how does Hashem do such a... What is this? I mean, you know, he obviously asks it with much more cover than I just ask it. But Lemaisa, it's a very, very big question. So he has a whole arichus and where he explains that... I'm just going to take this nekuda because this is what's relevant to our memorim that we just read. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, I'm going to read a few lines here. Not Rabbi Yaakov, the Leshem, a few lines. He says, Ki hayaloi lo'oisak koyach to'eles godol meravo oinish. There's a tremendous benefit from the evil and punishment. Ki heima she'otziu oisim ha'koyach elapoyal b'chol ha'efshari. They, the Ra and the Oynish, are what help manifest the potential in the most possible, the biggest possible way. And he explained, in other words, there's nothing that manifests potential the way evil does. Why? Because the Ra, while it's in existence, it goes and is mizgaber with all possibility without any submission whatsoever. It doesn't submit itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It goes all out and uses all its koyach against the Rabbeinu Shalom. In this sense, the tzad of the overpowering of the Ra is, or the strengthening of the Ra in its evil is way greater than the strengthening of the good. Why? Because the tzaddik and the good can't possibly use all its koyach kedusha into the maximum. Why? Because the tev of the tzaddik and the tev of the toiv is always to be submissive and to nullify itself to the kedusha, to the kedush baruch hu. V'chol achna, and all submission who ain't a holich lahala, doesn't go further. Ele misyached lamala, it just unifies itself with the above. Or memelu she'ain yotz b'chol kachaysav, memelu doesn't manifest all its koiches, all its potential, all its powers, al tachlis hayoyser achron, in the biggest way possible. Mashainkin a rosh of a ra who yoytze bechol koychaysev ad a tachlis hayoyser efshari. The ra goes with all its koych, nothing stopping it. The tzaddik has, you know, a person is in a fight. Let's say the guy who has yir shemayim, he might be able to win the fight, but he has yir shemayim and he knows it's usher for me to do this and that, so I don't have those possibilities. So he's not going to fight with all his potential. He'll be saying, on the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's mevat himself to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Okay, yesh din v'yesh dayin. I can't deal with this. There's nothing. The Russia, he throws around his kaychas and shows his power completely. So the Leshem says that all these 6,000 years, you know, whatever, that the Ra is being mizgaber, is because the Rebbeinu Shalom has endless, endless, endless amount of kaychas that he wants to reveal in this world. And the best revealer are the Rishayim, is the Ra. But it's all a temporary spot, because it's all a temporary stage, even though it might be the majority of those years, so to say. But that is the way to reveal all the koiches of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and then the Toiv is going to take them, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to proclaim his oneness over everything. It's going to show how all this was just a part of the game plan to reveal his kaiches, and then we're going to see that all those kaiches that the Ra was megala are really his. Just to finish off in Lasabra Sa'ezin, to make this a little bit, you know, right now we have Corona, and they've written about it quite a bit, that the, even though at the moment there's nothing to show for it, but there's been a tremendous increase in the speed of research, right? And actually there are some stuff already that's taken place. There are some changes that have taken place based on the terrible, you know, thing that hit this world, the corona. Most accomplishments, technological advancement, was always due to war. Wars always brought the biggest technological advance, because when there's fighting and there's wars, or when there's something negative going in the world, then the world's got to really just completely apply itself to try to overcome it. This is, I know, it's another aspect of it, right? But because it's basically, but that's an example, especially wars, is the example where the Ra is Mizgaber, and the Ra finds all, right? Take cyber warfare, right? The Rishoyim are trying to play games, and it forces the Tzad HaToiv, so to say, to defend itself and to develop protection, and to develop the tools necessary to overcome. So the Ra plays this game where it has no Yerushimayim, no Hachna before the Ribbono Shelam, and forces a lot of manifestation of Kaiches that would never come into the world. Some of that on its own, some of it because it plays that, you know, Tmura. It plays that that Keneged to the Tzad HaToiv, and forces the Tzad HaToiv to produce even more. But nevertheless, the same Yisoid that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said over here, this is the same Yisoid as the Lashem. If the Neshama was up there, it can't express itself. It can't have Bechira, it can't do anything, because it's completely tied to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is going to be Bittul and Achna. It has to come down here. Then yes, it's expected of us to work ourselves up to the level of Bittul and Achna. But we got to work ourselves up to that. That's a big avodah. That's a big accomplishment. Somebody could do it. Same thing the Leshem is saying, that the role that Ra plays in the world is the same thing. It's in order to enable that separation, which is going to allow all the keiches to come into manifestation and revelation. Hopefully that that ultimate revelation, and then Hashem's revelation, where he's going to show how all those keiches are his and not the Sitra Achros. I hope that we're extremely close to that, Bez Hashem. B'mheir uv'karev. Are there any questions? Oh, somebody asked a question here. Wouldn't it have been better had sin not taken place? Well, the truth of the matter is that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave a commandment that Adam shouldn't sin. So theoretically, yes, it would have been better that there would be no sin. And it sounds like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done, or maybe man could have accomplished this accomplishment that we need to get to, of revealing Hashem's oneness down here. We might have been able to get to it in a different route that right today we wouldn't be able to chop. There are others, you know, there's other stuff written in the Sfarim, and there's a lot of question to that. Did Adam Arishan, you know, was that really a possibility that he wouldn't have sinned? Was he, so to say, really maybe almost forced into it? And but I like to work with the Pasha Pshat, that if the Torah says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a warning not to sin, it means that he really had the ability not to sin, and he just didn't do it. So yeah, how that would have looked, I don't know, but certainly maybe the answer would be that, you know, maybe the answer would be that we taka wouldn't have a gilui of all those kaiches. Maybe we would have had a massive gilui, but maybe not in the detail. Maybe we wouldn't have as much detailed gilui as we had back then. I mean, don't forget, listen, we talk about, I'll give you another example. The Shlach HaKadosh says that had Adam Rishon not been chayte, we would have had just Torah Shebiksav. We wouldn't have needed Torah Shebalpeh. Everything would have been completely understood straight out of Torah Shebiksav. Moshe Rabbeinu, another thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah. It says, Bichlalus, Biprotah, but the Maral has a Mahalach that Moshe Rabbeinu was given it Bichlalus, and the later Dairis fleshed out the Protos and got the Protos. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get every single part. You know, he didn't know what to do with the refrigerator. He didn't have a refrigerator. It wasn't an issue by him. The details, but he probably, you know, certainly would have been able, had he been an outdoor, to extrapolate what he needed to mitzah the klal. Like the Rambam always says, I'll give you the klal. From the klal, you'll be able to flesh out the Protim. But nevertheless, that leaves room for the later Chachamim to flesh out the Protim. So my point is, there would have been a gilui of the Torah on a klalus dika level, had there not been this need for Torah shebiksav, for Torah shebal peh. We probably would have had the Torah shebiksav just on that level. It would have been a very clear gilui, but I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have been the same kind of gilui that it is now, which is kind of a bedievit situation. We really shouldn't have needed to come out to Torah shebal peh. But at the end of the day, look at the gilui of Torah shebal peh. It's a fascinating gilui with pirtei pratos. So maybe the gilui would have looked somewhat different. Maybe it would have just been like a more kloliastic gilui as opposed to pratiastic. But now, sin, it's fragmentation. So now we have to get into all that fragmentation. We have to get into all the details. And we have to get the details back up into the klal, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, with Hashem's, inside of Hashem's oneness, so to say. Perhaps.
This style of gilui is only necessary because of Chet.
It could be. I'm suggesting I don't want to sign on it because I don't remember seeing this said Mefurish in this forum, but Lanius Daiti, this might be a real answer to this question.
If it talk about Halacha of Moshe Misinai that Moshe wasn't aware of.
Right, right. And it says, Dvarim that Sheniglu Rabbi Kiva, Lo Niglu Moshe Rabbeinu, that things were revealed to Rabbi Kiva weren't revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? It says he was darshening Elazar, whatever. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu is like, well, what's he saying? I don't even know what he's saying. And he had such Chalish Sadas. And then the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and then he hears him still being Dairish. He's seeing in the, you know, prophetic vision of the future, whatever, or it's the Shamach. And he says, where do you know this from? Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So then Moshe Rabbeinu had, like, he relaxed. The point is, you know, you see that the details fleshed out that he didn't necessarily get. It's interesting, there's a Lashon Chazal somewhere that he got all the Klalim and all the Pratim. That's a Stam Akasha on these Mahalchim. But you have to say that even he got the Klalim that included all the Pratim, but not Mamish all the Pratim. That's what you have to say. We good? Okay. Very good. All right. Shabbat Tov. A good vach to everyone.